If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Ardam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the rules about prayer, I'm going to ask you this question, if you can answer me according to Ayatollah Khamenei. What are the obligatory acts of an obligatory prayer, a wajib prayer?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there are 11 obligatory acts for every obligatory prayer. The first one is niyyah, of course, that's intention, because no action, no act of worship is valid without a niyyah. Innama al-a'mal bin-niyyat. So every action must start with a niyyah, okay? And then we have the second obligatory act, which is qiyam. Qiyam means standing in prayer. You have to be standing while praying. As long as you can stand, you should stand. And then the number three is takbiratul ihram. While saying takbiratul ihram, you must be standing. And takbiratul ihram is a basic element of the obligatory prayers, you know. Of course, we will come to the basic elements or the pillars of prayer, arkan of prayers.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you this question after your answer.
Yeah, of course, sure. Obviously. And then the fourth obligatory act of prayer is ruku. And then there is sujood. Sujood is there. The two sajdas of the prayer are
two prostrations. Yes.
And then qira'ah, recitation of, let's say, Surah Alhamd and Surah At-Tawheed, Ikhlas, okay?
Yes.
And the surah is must be recited after Alhamd. So this is called, in legal terminology, it's called qira'ah. So qira'ah is obligatory. And then we have zikr, you know. When you perform ruku and sujood, okay, and tashahud and all these acts of prayer, there is a special zikr that must be recited. You cannot do ruku without a zikr or sujood without any zikr. So zikr is also important. Zikr, I can translate it as recital or a recitation of a special dua or a special, let's say, supplication. You see?
Where?
During ruku and sujood and tashahud, okay?
So you can't just be silent. You can offer the zikr.
Yeah, and then we have the eighth obligatory act is tashahud. Tashahud has to be performed after the second rak'ah of prayer and after the third rak'ah of prayer in the Maghrib prayer and also in the fourth, you know, rak'ah of the prayer. After you complete the fourth rak'ah, you have to perform tashahud. Tashahud is obligatory. And then we have salam, you know. Every prayer starts with niyyah and then, you know, ends with salam. So salam is also obligatory, salam, okay?
Yes.
So the tenth one is tartib. Tartib means the sequence, observing the sequence of the prayer. You have to do the, for example, the niyyah first, and then takbiratul ihram, and then hamd, and ruku, and sujood, you see?
So you cannot disrupt the order.
Yeah, of course. The proper order has to be observed and maintained. Then we have the mu'alat. You know, mu'alat is an Arabic word, but it means that we have to perform different acts of prayer in regular succession, you know? They have to be performed one after another without there being a gap of, let's say, excessive gap of, let's say, 30 seconds or more than 30 seconds, you know. There shouldn't be any gap. Every let's say, ayah or every part of the prayer has to be performed in regular succession. They have to be offered one after another. And the sequence has to be maintained and observed.
Okay, we're going to talk
these are,
about...
These are the 11 obligatory acts of prayer.
Okay, thank you very much. But we also promise our audience to talk about the basic elements of the prayer, but we have to leave it, in fact, after the break. Stay with us. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Al-Ali Al-Azim, Subhanallah. Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And Sheikh Javed is still our guest speaker in the studio with us, talking about the rules of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. We promised just before the break to our audience to also shed some light on the arkan or the pillars and the basic elements of the prayer, without which the prayer becomes void. Would you talk about that, please?
Well, there are some acts, obligatory acts of prayer, which are more important than any other obligatory acts of prayer. And those are called arkan or pillars of prayer. Or you can, some have translated as the basic elements or essential parts of the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the parts which must not be left out. Okay.
Yes.
And if they are deliberately or, you see, unintentionally left out by the person who offers prayer, then his prayer becomes void. Whether you add one rukun to the prayer or you, let's say, leave out a rukun, the prayer is affected. Now, whether you do it intentionally or unintentionally,
mm-hmm.
Deliberately or by mistake, your prayer is affected. And these arkan are, number one, niyyah. Okay, niyyah is an important element of the prayer. And then the takbiratul ihram is the second, element, basic element. And then we have qiyam during takbiratul ihram, and also before going down for ruku, before, you know, doing or performing ruku, it is necessary to be in a standing posture. You know, you have to be standing,
mm-hmm.
Before you perform the ruku, or before bending or doing bowing down.
Genuflection.
Yeah. So if you happen to, let's say, pick something from the ground and you are in a bending position and in that case you perform, make niyyah of ruku, your ruku is not valid because you were not in a standing posture,
mm-hmm.
Before doing ruku, you are bending.
Yes.
You see, so your ruku is not valid. You have to be standing while before performing ruku. And then the two sajdas of prayer, and those two sajdas are also considered rukun of the prayers. And of course, if they happen to be left out,
yes.
or to be added, for example, if you do add two more sajdas to the prayer, then your prayer is affected.
Uh-huh.
Whether you do add it deliberately or by mistake, it doesn't make any difference. Your prayers will be affected and will be made void.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sheikh Javed, is it obligatory to utter the intention and the niyyah, or and say it verbally, or it is possible and permissible, in fact, to say it non-verbally?
Yeah, people are generally under the impression that it is necessary to recite the niyyah or to utter the niyyah verbally and to, you know, say it orally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But niyyah is a matter of the heart, you know. It is, you have to form your intention, and it's not necessary to say it verbally. Whether you are offering your prayers or whether you are performing hajj or fasting or anything, you know, all the acts of worship require niyyah. And niyyah is not necessary to be recited or said verbally. If you have it in your mind to do something, that's enough, you see. Okay, if you want to say it, you can say it, but it's not necessary. For example, if you want to make niyyah of the fajr prayer, you can say it. Okay, I'm offering my Fajr prayer, qurbatan in Allah. And you know, there are a lot of debates going on, especially in some countries like India and Pakistan. They say, okay, whether you should say qurbatan in Allah or wajib qurbatan in Allah, this uh-huh. is something. And the religious authorities consistently tell them, you see, that it's not necessary to say qurbatan in Allah or wajib qurbatan in Allah, as long as you know that the prayer is wajib, you know.
Yes.
Then it does not make any difference whether mm-hmm. you say qurbatan illallah or wajib qurbatan illallah. The prayer is wajib, and of course you have to offer your prayers with the intention of seeking closeness to mm-hmm. Allah and proximity to Allah.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you, dear audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير